Are we ready to do this?
Whenever you are.
All right. Welcome to the HB5 Podcast, where we talk about co-working, productivity, and building your future lifestyle. This is episode 11 for February 8th, 2016. So we've got a full house in the studio today. Right in front of me, we've got Jay.
Hello there.
And to my right across the table, we've got Tecto.
Hello, hello.
And to my right, we've got Dieter.
Heyo.
You have lots of rights.
Yeah. Well, right across and all that. We should diagram this and blog it tweet it.
There should be a graph for
put
this.
Put it on Pinterest or something.
I believe so. Graph for clarity.
Yeah.
It should.
Yes.
We need to put it on all the things.
So, tweet it. Instagram it.
Mm-hmm. That would be good.
Tweetstagram.
Yeah. I tell you, the Instagram is strong.
Yes, it is.
It is very strong as far as a social media engagement outlet. Yes. People like pictures.
Yeah,
I think the Idiocracy. It's here. It's finally here.
Look at the pictures. Literally, I can't reach. Let me look at pictures. La, makes me happy.
That's a beautiful thing.
I guess we should have saved that for the pre or post roll. I guess that was a little out there.
I took some pictures the other day of money. If that helps any,
and Instagram them.
Yeah,
pictures of money.
I like money.
Yeah. Just don't print those pictures. Don't print those pictures. You get in trouble.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about leadership, which is a loaded topic title, which I think is pretty funny.
Yes, it is.
It's got a lot there. When you say leadership, I think it means something different to everybody. I think some people haven't really thought through what that really means. They just I think nowadays people just throw that word out there, just like friend. I'm going to friend you on Facebook. They're going to just throw the word out there, leadership, but they don't really think about what is a good leader, what is leadership, what's a bad leader, what's a...
Well, I think there's also a dynamic where it's almost like leadership is something you can go to class for, and you come away, and now you know how to
lead. You can actually go to class for
there leadership. Are leadership classes.
That doesn't mean that it's completely effective or not.
Right, that's like going to a gun safety class and think at the end you should be carrying firearms, and maybe they're not for you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but maybe even worse, coming away from a gun safety class thinking that now you are an expert marksman.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the issue in so many ways, I think, is that management is conflated with leadership, and they can't overlap in that you can have a leader in a management position, but some of the worst managers are the ones who think they're leaders and don't have a management. Don't have anything but management in there.
Because they went to that special conference and read that special book.
Yes, they did.
That was posted on that special website.
Right. So if there's a manager who is not a leader, what does that look like?
I think a manager that's not a leader, and luckily this has not been from my personal experience, but vicariously through others, because I've had a lot of good managers and folks over the years. But I think a manager, I think that would be a person who thinks, I'm the boss, and I'm going to tell you I'm the boss, and I'm really don't want to listen or care about anything you say or your opinion.
Okay.
You must do what I say.
Because of position.
Just because. There's no explanation.
Titles.
Yeah.
Because titles.
And I'm going to treat
because
you.
Or chart.
I'm going to treat you like a child.
Yep.
And I don't trust you. Lots of things.
So where does the credit flow with a manager who's not a leader?
Where does the credit flow?
Yeah, does credit flow down or credit flow up?
Well, there is no credit.
Oh, you mean credit for good things that happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good things happen, the credit flows.
Like employee does good things.
Oh, yeah.
Who gets the credit?
The manager.
Yeah.
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 Yep. And,
only.
And
then probably the manager's manager.
And blame.
Probably the manager's manager gets the credit. And then it goes on up.
Yeah, sure.
So.
Yeah, credit only flows up. Blame flows all the way down.
Blame flows down, yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's actually the reverse with a leader. A leader takes absolute responsibility, i.e. handles the blame and has no problem sharing the credit with everybody who actually contributed to getting something accomplished.
Yep.
That makes sense.
Makes sense.
And it could also be a manager, which is a different skill set or a different personality or a different drive or commitment or whatever.
So I don't think that every manager, there's always going to be some folks that are just naturally good at being bad managers. But I don't think every manager came into being and just said, I'm going to take credit for everything and I'm going to be this bad, evil manager. Kind of sometimes I theorize in my head, at least, that either they weren't mentored, weren't trained, weren't probably mentored is really trained is kind of a loaded word, but kind of mentored. They weren't guided along the way. They said, guess what? You're a manager today. And they kind of are like, okay, what does that mean? How do I figure it? And they're basing that skill set on managing based on maybe things they've seen, things they've experienced. And that's the only thing they know. And then at some point it flips where it's just habit. Just the way they act. I'm not trying to excuse it. I'm just saying that they don't think about it anymore, and they just that's when they take the credit all the time. They're not actively going, I'm gonna be mean to Dieter and take the credit for something he did. At some point, it's like part of their style, which is a sad thing at that point.
Yeah. What have they internalized? I think they've internalized something, and I see this a lot in management circles or being around conversations that are just managers. They've internalized an us versus them mentality. The managers do not see themselves as part of a team. They see the people that report to them as underlings, and
they're out to get them.
Well, and it's adversarial, and they got to stay on top of them, and they don't trust them, and there's this whole mentality of us versus them. They're not identifying as part of a team with their people. They're not leading.
Yeah, you're over a team. You're not part of a team when you're a manager.
Correct. Right. And you rely, and this is back to the whole authority thing, you rely on your position, just because. I make a decision, it's just because.
So what's different about a leader in that scenario?
Well, I think a leader in that scenario actually sees their role much more as supporting their team, clearing obstacles for their team.
Empowering
their team. Oh, I hate the buzzword, but that's the reality.
It's a good word for it.
It is.
It's only a buzzword because it's been overused, but it is.
Well, it's back to the leadership school. It's overused on the level of like, here's how you empower your team, and people go and do motions, and they have no real commitment to it. And it comes off as fake and
well, it's leadership.
We're going to empower the team by giving them a ping pong table.
Right.
Because the developers need a ping pong table. Yeah.
Developers and love that, some ping pong.
Let me tell you, that fixes it all. And guess what? The ping pong table was never used.
Unique culture, yes.
Except to stack work on.
That's right.
Which they have too much of because they were given that work by their manager.
So, yeah, leadership training. Is that really leadership training or is that just manager training?
I think leadership training is how to fake being a leader. I think this comes back to mentorship. Somebody who truly leads is constantly developing leadership mindset and culture among their people and grooming, enabling, empowering, supporting, training people in how to be, which is really back to what do you do with your team? Do you care about them? Are you doing everything you can to help them be successful and help them grow in their careers and help them ultimately walk away a better person?
Ooh, you said something there that is intriguing that I think scares a lot of
managers,
leaders, and I'm doing the quotes, or managers, right? And that is grow their careers. So I've seen managers and I've heard about, I have friends that have managers. I have some friends. I know it's even besides you guys. I know it's
hard. Can we make another episode just for that?
We could. This would be the 5-minute podcast. But here's something I love is it's the thought process that managers, not leaders, maybe managers you think they're leaders go through. We're not going to send those guys to training or we're not going to, let a person get a certification, or we're not going to do extra training.
Let's not take a half day to go do that.
Yeah, we're not going to do these things because guess what? I'm afraid this is coming out of fear for a manager. I'm afraid that they will leave and go get a different job, or whatever, or blank, blankety blank. So most of this really is driven out of fear.
Yes,
yeah.
And I think what's crazy is if you truly, now I don't mean just sending people when it doesn't make sense to things or doing things that absolutely just for the business doesn't make sense whatsoever, but there is a certain amount of goodwill. I really believe that employees see when it's authentic and say, hey, guess what, we're getting together this thing and we actually brought back value to the company because we learned this or learned that and we've got these new ideas. And yes, it did help me grow in my career long term. I do have knowledge now that I could take somewhere, but I would counter that those employees, people are going to go sometimes anyway, and that you can't always stop that.
If you've created an environment where you are supporting people in growing and pursuing ways of supporting them, whether that's new positions or new opportunities for a different kind of project within their role, etc., they tend to see that you're actively creating an environment where they can grow. And obviously there are limitations. The company may not may not be interested or ready to get into a particular service, and somebody wants to move that direction.
And you know,
and
that's,
and that's okay.
Right.
I mean, that happens sometimes.
And then they end up feeling valued.
Yes, they
do. At the company they're at.
No, that's ridiculous talk.
I know. It's crazy
talk. I mean,
well,
somebody feeling valued.
People who feel valued are significantly more productive, and they tend to add that much more value to the company that they're you know, loyal to now, because the company's taking care of them and looking out for them.
That's
well,
crazy.
Well, while we're kind of teetering on the whole like recruitment / employee retention, all that kind of stuff talk, because that's kind of what we're kind of skirting around a little bit. Let's talk about the funny thing, one of the funny things at least, about that fear-driven, oh, they'll leave us if we're going to keep them dumb, basically, and in the dark.
Right.
Or they're going to leave us. That's really what they're saying in their mind,
yeah,
one way or the other.
It's the classic keep her barefoot and pregnant kind of mentality brought into a corporate environment.
Mm-hmm. Keep your thumb down on the employee. We're not going to let them do anything else. Now here's what's interesting is a lot of times this can be a middle manager, especially a middle manager or a lower manager who hasn't been trained. They've been thrown into this. You're going to be the manager. And a lot of times that's just so they can give them some extra bucks. But that doesn't mean they're really ready to be that person. Doesn't mean they're equipped for it. But what's really interesting is what those guys don't think about, and usually somebody higher up the management chain, it does seem like a train sometimes, what they think about is that the cost to bring in somebody new. So why you don't want to do things that will retain employees, or and we're talking leadership, so this goes beyond employees. This could be a team of people just trying to commonly do something. Like it could be a volunteer group. But the bottom line is, why do you want, when you invest in somebody over a long period of time or a short period of time, whether it's a nonprofit volunteer thing, whether it's a employee relations, you know, an employee manager kind of role, you want to do everything you can to support that person so that, yeah, they probably will leave at some point. You know, nothing lasts forever, but you want to have that value. You want to create all that so that they can stay around, and that the cost that you'll have then to replace that person into, you know, that's a real thing. I mean, let's face it. That is why people hate to see somebody go, but on the flip, they love to see somebody go. If they're doing it right, it's like a mixed thing. Cause I've had this happen myself. I've had people that have left that technically in the org chart worked for me. And it's like, and I'll tell them this, I'll just verbalize it. I'll just say, hey, I'm going to be honest with you. And I've had this in the last year, I've had this happen, but I'm thinking back to some folks, you know, years ago, and I'll just tell them, say, listen, I'm kind of bummed, honestly, because you're an individual and you are super hard to replace. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Okay. But on the flip side, if I'm doing it right, I'm going to go, and I do this. And I'm going to say, but you know what? You've been awesome. And the time we've had has been awesome. And we couldn't have done a lot of what we did without you. And I'm happy for you. I mean, I mean that. I'm happy for you to move on and to grow. And because let's face it, the person's not happy, and you've done everything you can. And luckily, these are cases where they left in good terms.
If you hit the end of the career path that you can offer somebody,
yeah, it's not.
Or they have an opportunity you just can't match.
Maybe it's not your. Maybe that's not your fault. And it, right. And you both go. It's kind of a mutual thing. And you're like, I'm kind of bummed, and I'm going to miss you, and this and that. But you know what? It's good, and we'll deal with it, and life will go on. And I think that's a good thing. Whereas, you know, being fear driven and all that, and then it's panic. Somebody leaves and it's pure panic. And you can, that can still happen too. There can still be a little bit of panic, but you also have to have, you know, my perspective is usually, hey, you know what? We'll get somebody to replace. They will not replace the person. So I hate when people go, she's the new Sally, or he's the new Sally.
Yeah, that's the
because
worst.
That doesn't make that person feel good. But the other thing is no, they're never going to be Sally, because Sally was an individual.
Sally. Yeah, they're themselves.
Sally had strengths that are irreplaceable.
Yeah.
But there's also that. Guess what? That new person that replaced Sally is going to have strengths Sally didn't have. And you'll look back and go, oh, wow, you know, yeah, we missed that part. But there's things that Sally would have never done or thought of just because it's a
different
person. Yeah. And that's cool.
I've had to be the new Sally before, and it's tough.
Yeah, especially in a weird, if it's in a weird vibe kind of climate, like
right.
You're walking into something and you know something feels kind of strange. So usually eventually you pick up on kind of what happened and what the deal is with that.
Try to recover.
Anyway.
So it seems like as a leader, and I get this sense from this conversation and from, I read Michael Lopp's blog, Rands and Repose.
Oh, that's
which is
yeah.
Fantastic management
the
blog.
The guy is super smart.
Oh yeah, he's incredibly smart. It seems like as a leader, your goal is to get somebody to the point where they could go somewhere, but they don't. You keep them happy where they are.
There's this perfect balance.
Well, yeah, there's a balance there, and it's not necessarily a bad thing if they do decide to move on, but you are creating an environment where you're supporting them becoming, in essence, more valuable in the market. You know, from a peer management perspective, that's really where the fear a lot of times starts to intrude. We're going to have to pay this person more to retain them. And we're looking at the glass half empty instead of the glass half full here. We're not paying any attention to how much more value they're going to be able to add if they're...
Only the cost.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, a lot of those folks, it's not the money that retains them.
No, absolutely not.
It
is that leadership dynamic that actually builds a sense of, I'm invested here. These people care about me.
I enjoy what I'm doing.
I'm valued.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's not even a feel. I am. I truly am valued. I think that's the issue between the gap between leadership and management is that people know they're not valued. You can't fake it. You go to the leadership classes and it's an act. You come back and when push comes to shove and the decisions that are actually hard, you default right back to your fear-driven response.
Because we can all tell when someone doesn't give a crap about us.
Absolutely.
That's really ultimately, you basically feel it. And we all do, right? Yep. Like you're like, I know they're trying, but they don't
But that's
care.
It.
They don't really care.
Yeah.
And that's indicative of another, I guess, difference between leadership and management. Because I see management as passive. And I see leadership as active.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, buddy. Yeah. I'm putting that down.
Yeah. I mean, because management is really responsive and kind of firefighter oriented, but leadership is more fire prevention. It's about, I don't think a manager can build culture. I think a leader can build culture because they're looking down the road and they're trying to create things that occur in the workspace between employees, et cetera. And if you're managing,
I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying, but I think there's a little bit of exaggeration because I have seen management cultures where from a proactive perspective, let's say actually meeting with teams on a regular basis and checking up on what's going on and so on, that there's a discipline to it that, you know, from an operations perspective, potentially there are, you know, metrics put in place and, you know, actually work through issues and have goals. And you know, I've seen true managers be very effective in creating a culture that's driven towards results and so on. I think the problem is when management is valued over leadership or instead of leadership, where you end up with an Eli Whitney kind of mentality that says everybody's replaceable, which is true from the perspective of nobody's indispensable, but it's not true from the perspective of basically degrading people's humanity and turning them into building blocks or machine parts in the corporate machine.
I think you're flipping into building loyalty.
Yes.
And ultimately, that's not rocket science.
Well, it requires you care about people.
Right. And building loyalty, and people are not, employees are not stupid, no matter what maybe a manager may think at some point. They're going
to
go.
Well, and a leader goes to the mat for people. For his people, the team he's built, he's going to put himself on the line. He's going to stop bullets. I think that's back to the credit and blame kind of dynamic. A leader gets between the bullet and his team.
You painted this image for me when I first came to work at our day job, that leaders in context are feces umbrellas.
Yes, this is original to the Gmail team. Yes,
yes. They keep the doo doo from raining down on their team, and that works. I like that.
It was and then rain it will.
It will. Right.
And then you really want one of those golf umbrellas.
Yeah,
I mean, if you have a large
umbrella,
you don't want one of those collapsible pocket umbrellas.
Not the little right. Guys.
So would it be appropriate to call it chocolate rain? Just as a question.
Yes, it would.
That would be
painfully,
I think,
appropriate, but. And then the opposite, yes, in that same Gmail article forever back was feces funnels that, you know, for all intents and purposes, we hear in the blankety-blank rolls downhill in corporate environments all the time. And that's that reality of, you know, I'm just going to hand this off and dump it on somebody else without a care to how it affects them or, you know, taking any responsibility myself.
Yep.
So... I think ultimately all this ties into, you know, our podcast topic being building your future lifestyle, kind of there at the end of that phrase, that a piece of doing something for yourself comes down to this question. Because if you're not going to create an environment that is leading towards a better lifestyle, and that's comprehensive. I mean, when you care about your team, you care about the fact that
Not just at work.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Where, you know, they're going through a hard patch in their marriage or you know, a death in the family or, you know, what's happening, what's going on. But that you care enough that all of those things are part of what you're taking into account. And if you're not doing that, you might as well just go back to a day job.
And a good leader, I think, realizes that guess what? Those things away, the things you don't know about, the things that you kind of have this balance where you have to, you know, you want to talk to somebody and hopefully they'll bring stuff up. But those are the things that affect the work, the quality of work.
Things, yeah.
Absolutely.
And yeah. Here's the other thing that gets me as a leader slash manager person, which we all are. What gets me is that there are times. So let's say you've got a great employee, and there are times when that person is going through a tough time, like you're talking about. They've got some personal issues. They've got depression. They've got a marriage thing. They've got They got teenagers doing weird things. Whatever
the case.
So whatever these things. These are things that everybody goes through at different times and all that. So when that happens, and you got a good employee, a lot of managers will go, well, I'm just done with them.
Well, they're not producing.
They're not producing, so I'm done with them.
Right.
When the attitude really should be more of, okay, what can I do to help you through this? And I can't solve all the problems. I can't fix everything. I wish I could.
But,
and then, because we know on the other side of that, there is going to be another side. And on the other side of whatever's going on, I'm investing, and I want to see this person through this.
What if that person doesn't come through?
Well, you don't know that. But that's part of caring, right?
Well, that's the message right there.
Yep.
As soon as the equation goes out of balance, I'm done with you. That's the corporate mentality because it is all about the profits. And I think another piece of this is that, yes, we have to be operating a profitable enterprise in order to you know, continue to employ people and continue to pay salaries and so on. But there is such a pursuit sometimes of that profit margin that truly caring about people and can get completely thrown by the wayside. And I think that's really where, you know, you start to see the dynamics like, okay, you know, professional management says that you don't have personal relationships with anybody that reports to you. So you used to work with this person as a peer, you get a promotion, now they report to you, and we can't be friends any longer.
Yeah, and there's usually a discussion that goes with that.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, by the way, I'm the boss now, so
right. So we know, need to
it's kind of not going
to
be really good if we kind of hang out.
Not going to be hanging out.
I don't
want
you
want
to hear about what's going on with the kids and
because I need to be able to remain objective and fire you if
right. And it could be painful. Out. It might cause me pain.
Well, it could get messy.
It could get real messy, and we don't want any of that. That's dirty. We don't want that.
Life is messy.
That's right.
But caring about people is messy. I think this is all the way back to the management versus leadership thing. It is messy to truly invest and care about people.
As a recovering table flipper and rage quitter, I kind of needed to hear this today. Thank you.
Ouch.
Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Okay, so what you guys are talking about and this difference between leadership and management feels relevant personally and professionally because I've been in relationships where I had what you couched as the management mentality, which is when it ceases to become the thing that I envisioned that it should be, I'm kind of done. Right. And I've walked away from situations, jobs, relationships. And it is an immature and I think a non-holistic approach and really kind of an unfair approach. So I'm contributing to this podcast, but I'm also listening and learning too. So that's kind
of
cool.
It's funny though, a ton of people, and probably all of us have done that. And a ton of people do that all the time. I mean,
I think it's a default.
It's an easy way out that we can all take. And we've all done it, and it happens. And yeah, you look back. Hindsight is interesting. You look back and go,
"It is."
Did I leave for the right reason, or was it because of da da? And I've had the same thoughts, and I've gone through stuff like that. And you, and all you can do is say, "What can I learn from it?" and try to move forward.
Well, the hindsight is 20/20, but there's that dynamic where you look back and you see the people who did make a difference in your life, and how did they approach you when you were being an absolute disaster of a human being, and what a difference their care and their being willing to bear with you made in your own life. And you begin to realize that's who I want to be. I don't want to be the person that just treats people as disposable. You know, you're not holding up, you know, your end of the deal that we kind of, you know, the arrangement that I at least had in mind when
you're a machine. You should be a machine.
You're a machine.
You know, and when you break down, we replace.
Correct.
So
if we can't repair you, you know, in a timely fashion.
In an orderly fashion.
Yes.
And to maintain profits.
With minimal disorder.
We really don't want to cause any issues here. Yep. Yeah.
Do you think that becomes harder when your employee is a publicly traded company?
I think it's completely thrown out by the time you get to that point.
Yeah.
If it's not, it begins to attrit heavily because of that pressure.
Yeah.
And it is
growth at all costs.
Growth at all costs. And it's a rare company, I think, that succeeds in maintaining the culture truly caring about their people in the face of the quarterly.
I think the only way you could get there statements. Is if you were so profitable that you didn't have a lot of people looking right. into that
sure.
so that you could operate that way. But it helps. That's tough. That's tough to get yes. there. Because there's so many industries that the margin is so tight already
right.
that a stockholder is going to look at it like, yeah, every little thing you do here is costing. It's yeah. costing.
Well, and then the flip side is you do have economic realities where companies that are operating in every way they possibly can to take care of their people and care and grow and develop their people hit a significant economic downturn or major account loss, and they're left without a choice. It's either the whole ship goes down or we're going to have to let some people go, and it's heartbreaking, but those situations can occur. So it's not to pretend like there's not a reality here, because there are realities ultimately that come into any given context, but it is much more of what is your mindset by default in the day-to-day, which can't be faked. It shows up very quickly.
And those conversations, if you have to have those as a manager and you're laying somebody off, those conversations can be, when you've invested in somebody and you care about somebody, they can be real painful and they really be hard. But the flip to that is you can actually be a lot more honest and a lot more real with that person when you have those conversations. And not to try to get out of it or weasel or whatever, because what's going on is what's going on. And right. a lot of times a company can't completely go out of business. I mean, that's the reality a lot of times. You can't just completely shut the doors because you don't want to lay somebody off. But a lot of strong leaders flip it and say, you know what? Folks have decided when you open up and you're honest, people go, you know what? I'll take less pay for a little bit.
Right.
To keep some people working.
That can be on the table.
So yeah. And I know that's not applicable to every situation, but
sometimes it's possible.
But it is, it's happened, and it seems to happen in situations where there are more leaders than managers, because the manager is going to just look at the numbers and go, you know, what's going on and
right.
where does it make sense to cut?
And the flip side is in those contexts, a lot of times companies that have done something along the lines of everybody take a pay cut, have been able to weather the storm. And then as the economy turns a corner, they're not suddenly scrambling to hire people. They've got talented people on staff who know what they're doing, and they are able to be ready when the economy starts to catch and poised.
And
to
some of that can
growth
happen.
Opportunity.
Right. And some of that can happen because if leaders were investing, then there were real conversations, there was right. honesty, and there was loyalty
yes.
already there.
Yes.
And even though that employee may have left at that point and been completely ticked off and not happy about a situation, I'm sure that there's realities, right, you go through. It's almost a grieve. I think when you get laid off from a job, it's a grieving process in a sense. It's an identity. If you've connected yourself with that job as an identity, there's all kinds of issues. But that's how those companies are able to bring people back.
In many cases, yes.
In many cases. It doesn't always work out. Sometimes hope. I mean, it's great if that person can move on and do something else, but sometimes it's not possible. So, but yeah, I think that's we keep focusing on so many interesting things, and loyalty keeps coming up. I think we've talked about trust and having trust,
caring, yeah. honesty.
Yeah, I mean those.
And the funny thing is, all of these are so squishy. All these things are so uniquely immeasurable.
You can't measure them, and that's
and you can't
right. and you can't go to
you
a school.
You guys are nuts.
Them.
You should
why
not
it's
have
easier
that
to
in
teach
business.
Management?
How could that
leadership?
Be in business?
Yes.
Can you learn leadership?
I think leadership is more caught, honestly. I think there's a certain amount of teaching and concepts that can be brought into focus, but if there's not an anchor point of experience to connect those concepts to, then people are moored in their kind of default mind frame, paradigm, et cetera. And if they're coming out a fear-driven management perspective, they're going to fake it. Mm. And
well, imagine if like from a mentorship perspective, because you can be poorly mentored also, but
yes.
imagine that somebody that now is a manager, now let's imagine that somebody actually approaches, you know, they've been sucked into being a manager, they've been fooled and Duped. And all that, all
they've
the
they've been promoted
yeah, wow I'm gonna I'm
promotion
gonna make another,
through attrition
get
maybe,
another $2 or... an hour, and now I'm gonna have all this responsibility. But let's say they get into that, and up until that point, the only experience, like you're talking about, Tecto, the only experience they've had is this that the type of person we're talking about, just a
right.
pure manager by the numbers, they don't invest. That's their model. Well, you know what are they going to do? They're going to
well, they've already been mentored
that. Yeah, now, because we'd all like to think that we would actually do the thing that we don't like. But that's not what usually happens. You wind up doing kind of repeating the what the mentor was right. giving you, and that's
your default. It's just like parenting. Yeah.
You pick up where they left off.
Yeah. And that's going to be. And the other thing is that person might still be up in that chain in the company, and you know that they're going to be expecting you to be like that. And there's all these weird pressures. So, that's this. I do believe, and I know we got to wrap up today, but I do believe that true leadership in a positive sense or a negative sense, but for that matter, but we hope in a positive sense, it actually starts, if you want to call it at the top, but it starts with the leadership, the group that's forming the organization, the forming right. the idea, who's starting the thing. It starts there, and it should catch. You hit something good. It should catch, and it should be passed around from people. And in the end, and I don't want to miss this point. I'd like to hear you guys and your thoughts on this. I really think, and I believe this in my heart, that everybody can be a leader. Everybody has the potential to be, and it's not about who they're leading and how they're leading. All that. It's really they can be a leader, and it's really a choice. Do they want to be a leader?
I think there's a really core issue or dynamic here, and that is, what if you take any given team and they've got a manager in place in the org chart, and you set the whole team down, including the manager. And this is a hard conversation to even imagine on some levels, but you know, let's say it's a safe zone in the sense that, you know, things are going to be addressed. Okay. And you lay out to a team, who would you pick as your manager? And in many cases, it wouldn't be their current manager. It would be somebody on their team who actually gets things done,
who leads
the team in reality. Isn't maybe even recognized as a team leader on any kind of formal basis, org chart or not, but in reality has invested in the team and cares. That's the person that really should get the investment in some management skills and experience, but is already leading the team. And then inversely, if you've got a team where, you know, the manager hears that they're not that person, there's probably some serious engagement that needs to be had around how they approach their team. And, you know, a leader ultimately is not followed because of their authority. They're followed because of who they are and how they treat their team. And you're not a leader if people don't want to follow you.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts before we wrap up today? We've gone over a little bit, but it's been awesome.
Yeah, I just think leadership and management, for me, it's leadership is a choice, and leadership is about choosing to be in front of decisions instead of just waiting for things to happen. So I think leadership begins within a team, but I also think leadership begins within an individual.
Yes.
Where you're choosing in your own career, personal life, relationships, you're choosing to actively decide what you're going to do next with the context of what's going to happen as a result of those choices potentially. So it's about being active
and owning those choices.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
All sounds good.
Until next week.
Yep. Next week we'll be back. Anyway, have a great one, guys.
Take care.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll see you later.
Well, no.
Bye-bye.
No.